Cultivated Being Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Cultivated Being Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Nick Hyde. This is my brother, Dr. Jake Hyde. We're here again, another week, another call. And it's Love Day, even though you might not be listening to it on that day, but you know, Valentine's Day, we got the love, we got the brotherly love.
What's awesome, up, good old Philos. Hey, Nick, you always talk over my part. It's like, this is my brother Jake, and I'm ready to come with some kind of thing. And then you keep talking. You're like, oh,
I know.
Wait, where is your brother Jake?
I want to keep you kind of off balance there. See what happens.
You know, so you got to be like in the intro, and momentarily you'll hear from my other co-host Jake, but not yet. I'm still talking.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, but we're here. It is Valentine's Day as we're recording it.
Yep.
You very unlikely will hear it on Valentine's Day, but happy Saint Valentine's Day to you all.
Yeah. And you know what? I like that I'm seeing a little bit of a vibe out there this year that it's not just about romance, but some people are making it about love. I'm like, that's cool with me. I like that.
Should be every day, but yes. Why not make a big deal of it? February 14th, the Feast of Martyrs in general. Is that not inaccurate?
St. Valentine was martyred this day,
but okay.
10 years ago.
So background of this pod, we do talk about health things and doctor things and brother things, but we also talk about whatever we feel like.
Nick usually happens to have totally prepared for it, which makes it fun.
So Nick has an undergrad degree in theology. He's usually like our resident. What's true about this? Because I'll just come up with an idea. Nick, Valentine's Day is a saint feast day, Saint Valentine's Day, just like Saint Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it's a saint. It's a day of remembrance of a great person who lived, and then we've come up with traditions that don't necessarily make sense in regards to the life of that person. Now, I thought, so Saint Valentine was a third century saint, so a long time ago, so, you know, 250, 270, like that was when he was doing stuff.
Yeah.
We don't know much about him, but I thought the general feast day for like the martyrs, because there's a ton of martyrs back then, right? Because Christianity was illegal and you can get killed for practicing or trying to evangelize. And he's a martyr. And I thought it was just like everyone gets remembered on February 14th. True or false?
Oh man, you are putting me on the spot. I actually don't know that. That might be true. I mean, here's the thing that kind of does bother me sometimes is that they'll update the calendar that we've been following for however many hundred years. Updates will be made to them because, you know, I follow Butler's Lives of the Saints, and this is like he wrote it 200 years ago. And some days I'll open it up and I'm like, okay, you know, February 13th. Oh, cool. Like what a cool feast day. Blah. And then I find out that we don't celebrate that feast anymore on that day. And I'm like, what the heck? So actually, I don't know. I'm sure there's some truth to that, but we usually celebrate martyrs, like a group of martyrs on one day. So we might celebrate like the martyrs of China on one day or the martyrs of.
So these could have been like pre-legal
or something.
Yeah. Like pre-legal Christianity martyrs, of which there's unfortunately countless.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but he's okay. So the reason I like bringing this up, and I think the reason it's appropriate for the pod is like people that are admirable and their lives can be emulated in some way, I think are an important part of health, right? Like stand on the shoulders of the great people before you, learn from them, emulate their loving kindness and charitableness and joy and peace that they brought into the world. But we don't know a ton about Saint Valentine, but I remember a couple stories from my research.
Okay.
Maybe one. There? Yeah. Okay. So he was arrested in whatever town area he was from, And he must have been a special person and probably very intelligent, or just like, who knows, Holy Spirit filled and just like speaking wisdom, universal truths. Because like he was talking to the judge. They're just having a conversation. So I imagine the judge was like, you're trying to evangelize people to Christianity, which is illegal, but you're fascinating. Yeah. I want to, you know, and I want to talk to you. And he must have been very convincing because the judge goes, okay, you're winning the debate. But if your God's so good, prove it. I have a blind daughter, heal her. And St. Valentine was just like, yeah, okay. Faith to the test. Let's go. Not backing down. Also, probably nothing to lose. But daughter's vision was restored, and the judge and his family and all of his servants were converted to Christianity.
So cool.
Pretty neat. Which is a big deal to convert to Christianity in the third century. It's not a legal thing to do.
Yeah.
He was a judge.
Yeah. Great. Here goes your whole career and your life and all of your society kind of reputation and everything. Yeah.
So he kept being troublemaker so much so that they eventually sent him to Rome. And he had to deal with the emperor, which I can't remember the emperor of that time.
I think.
I would
he
be believe it
a lot of people.
I believe it began with a C. But anyway,
okay,
we could so easily look this up, but I'd rather not.
We need a producer.
Hey, if you want to work for free, and you're good at producing,
yeah,
email us. Reach out.
Actually, our producer, all you're going to be is a third person on the screen that we ask you to look up stuff for us.
You're good at doing that.
But you're not allowed to talk otherwise.
I could probably have Kara do that, but she'll talk, which is fine. Yeah. We could use a female perspective on this.
Yeah, I know. We totally could.
Most of our listeners are female, probably. Okay. So Valentine. So he ended up having to go to Rome and deal with the emperor. And again, there's some good stories with him with the emperor, because he was probably just like one of those people that, yeah, I got to hear what the fuss is about. You meet them and you're like, oh, you're very interesting, but you have to stop evangelizing people.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll never do that. And he's like, well, okay, we got to execute you. And I think he got like clubbed to death, which is not a good way to go.
Not so romantic,
but also that courageousness and him, his ability to just stick to what, you know, he knows to be true in the face of danger is amazing. And so we have St. Valentine's Day. So why is it a romantic day? Why is he the feast of, you know, the romance, the patron saint of romance and stuff like that? There's no real direct reason. There's a story of he also healed the, so he has a vision thing, I think, because the main prison guard in his cell in Rome, his daughter was blind, and St. Valentine healed her as well and wrote her a letter like the day he was executed and said like something, 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 your Valentine. That might be made up. It's probably made up, but why couldn't it be true?
I'm sure he did that at some point. That sounds real to me.
It really does. Yeah, it does sound real. So it's like maybe to remember him, people wrote Valentine's. They just wrote a note to someone they care about and said like, hey, this is a Valentine card.
Your Valentine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that girl, maybe that little Roman girl started the tradition to remember the man that gave her vision. Who knows? But the point is they picked his feast day, I think, because that Christian church loved to take over pagan holidays. And there's a big pagan festival that has to do with like romance and fertility in February. And it'd be great to fact check this too, but I think it was like Lupercalia or something like that. Why actually, I feel good about
so much about this.
I feel good about Lupercalia.
I'm gonna look that up.
It feels right to me. Anyway, I remember this feast day.
Get this right.
I remember this feast day because it has some traditions that are almost embarrassingly sounds super made up, but
you are right.
Humans are weird.
Lupercalia.
When was it?
Annual festival celebrated from February 13th to 15th.
Okay, bingo. All right, so I'm on track.
It's about purifying the city, releasing health and fertility.
Yes. Okay, so that's what I remember. So, it's not great. So the tradition is you sacrifice some goats and you sacrifice a dog. And you turn some of their skin and you do stuff with their blood. Obviously, that's part of sacrificing. But then you make like thongs, quote unquote, with their skins. And then you run around naked, slapping people with these things.
And if you slap them, it helps them to get pregnant.
Maybe. But then here's another tradition that we don't do anymore, thankfully. Children, as a sacrifice, put their hands out and get hit with sticks by like teachers and parents, which is supposed to help women with their fertility. So, so they put their hands out and just get beaten.
That's great.
So it's good.
More hitting rights.
Yeah. So I think the silly traditions of modern Valentine's Day are better than those.
Yeah.
But it's not great. I think we could probably still do better.
Yeah. Let me ask you something here, Jake.
I was going to say, well, that's a podcast. Good job today.
Yeah. Jake surprisingly had a shocking amount of information about Valentine's Day, pre-Roman Valentine's.
I'm fascinated by traditions and why do we do weird things as humans?
Well, let's talk about why we do weird things as humans. When's the last time that you wrote a letter?
Summer of 2007.
Wow. That was very specific. I think letters are so interesting and pretty cool, and actually probably better than all of the other forms of long distance communication. And here's better, why I'm going to make my
okay. All right.
Better in the sense that maybe not the best thing to do if you're going to announce that, you know, someone died or something, or someone just got tragically put in the hospital. This may be not the best way of announcing that, but here's what I'm saying. Okay. I get all of these. I can't even tell you how many different types of transmission I got this week from my phone. I got messages left on my phone. I got texts. I got emails,
psychic downloads.
I got all kinds of stuff, telegrams, whatever. And it was overwhelming. And at the end of the day, I'm like, did I check everything? And like, I'm rescheduling things with people and whatever. Like, did I get everything? And by the end of the day, it's like, I felt like I wasted so much time going back and forth with people. And it did not at all add to the value of my day. Probably not theirs either. And then it's like, you get so bored and you're so tired that then you're just going to go on social media and look for even other transmission that doesn't even actually belong to you. So I think it's so cool to get a letter, because when you get a letter, first of all, there's a huge dopamine rush. If it's not a bill and there's a letter and it's addressed to you, you're like, yeah, this is cool. God, dude,
I get so much cortisol every time I go check the mail. It's like, oh, it's never good.
It is never good. But if you got like this, imagine you got like this thick parcel of, you know, letter or whatever, you know, like whatever, you could tell like there's lots of weight to it. You're like, this is multiple pages, handwritten. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's from one of my friends that I love and haven't talked to forever. And they wrote you this long, well thought out letter. They put together ideas. They talk about, you know, they catch up on stuff, but in letters you talk about all kinds of ideas, you know. You don't just, no one writes a letter and it's just like, yesterday morning I had a breakfast burrito, you know, like in a letter you're like, this is what's going on in my life and these are some of the things I'm thinking about and like, what are you thinking about, you know?
Not like, what are you doing later? And that's why I get a lot of those in my texts.
Totally. And then you thoughtfully respond and you like engage with this, you know, and then it's away and you don't think about it. That's cool. Dude. I like that.
And the other thing, okay, so an argument for your case of letters are the best correspondence, besides like face-to-face sharing your life. That's really good. But while they're not the most efficient, they're the most meaningful. I have most, if not all, the letters I've ever been sent. Not like Christmas cards. I can't keep all that stuff. But like anytime someone's like, here's a personalized letter to you, I have those. I have them in a box or in the attic. Every time I move, I have to look through a few and I just laugh because a lot of them are from like middle school and high school and stuff like that. And they're great. I love them. I have one from my college. One of my college roommates, James. I don't know if you listen to this, James. He wrote me one like post-college, like a 4-page letter of just like reflections on our time together and thoughts and some really like honoring things about me. I'm like, that's one of the best letters I've ever had. I'll never get rid of that.
Yeah.
Nick.
That's cool.
Shout out to one of your sisters-in-law.
Okay.
I have some good letters from Antonia.
Oh, I was like, where is this going?
So Nick married like family friend. We were friends with the you know,
Albright's.
His wife's family for a long time. And one of the sisters in the family's my age. And we wrote each other back and forth a little bit in high school. And she's such a character. And her letters are so funny.
She is hilarious. Were they flirty? They had to have been. Everything you do as like a junior high person is flirty.
Oh, they're definitely flirty. But they're really just funny. She's got a good sense of humor. And I think she just had another little baby.
She did.
So congrats to the family.
Yep. Shout out to Mila. She just became a person outside the womb.
You did it. Wow.
Life is so fresh.
Yeah. Pretty good. All right. Well, what else do you want to talk about? Dude, okay. So speaking of corresponding, I struggle lifelong with partaking in social media.
Oh my God.
And I try to think so much about why, but I've been posting a little bit more recently. I just kind of been like, is it fear on my part? Do I want to morally object to participation in this realm? Because I've seen firsthand damage done by it. I've also seen some benefits, like personally I benefited from things people share, but it can do a lot of harm. But at the end of the day, it's just a tool that can be used any way people want to use tools, right?
Yeah.
So I've been doing it and largely been, you know, pretty positive. So probably keep at it. But I just really, this is what I think it is. This is the theory. I don't know if anyone's ever written about this before, but what social media is to me, it's the middle school playground of the adult world.
Well said, actually. I think that was pretty well said.
Because there's a lot of posturing. There's a lot of pretending. There's a lot of showing. There's a lot of also judgments and bullying and a lot of opportunity for you to feel insecure and self-comparison and judgment. It reminds me of just middle school, junior high playground. And I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, I already did that. I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
But being afraid of the playground, I'm like, am I that, you know, 13-year-old afraid of the bullies or like the mean girls that are gonna be judgy or whatever? Am I afraid of that still? Is that why I don't want to be on social media? Or because I have things I want to say that I think have value.
Totally.
Why don't I want to participate in a platform where people are there? The people are there to be reached.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think about that too, because I'm really bad at social media and I tend to only want to post things that are kind of like hotel art. You know what I mean? You're like, I know this is kind of so non-offensive and it's just barely pleasing that people are going to be like, oh, Nick's having a burrito today by the ocean. That's nice. Good for him. And that is one of my best posts, by the way.
The feedback's pretty solid on burritos by the beach.
But, you know, honestly, I think sometimes it is with me too also. I mean, I'm not above my immature, you know, nature. And I think it's the same thing with karaoke. I don't really like to do karaoke, but it's not because of karaoke itself. It's because I want to get up there and rock on karaoke so much that people like burn the building down. They're like, that was the best karaoke I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, they pledge themselves to me or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like there is a pride thing to it that I've not grown beyond at this point. And therefore, I don't want to be a part of it yet. You know what I mean?
If I could sing like you, Nick, I'd be karaokeing tonight, be part of my plans. I'd do it.
If we were together, Jake, I would karaoke and it would not be about that. I would be able to, you know, just enjoy for what it is. But that was an example. And hopefully it was relatable to people.
That's good. Hotel arts, it's a good idea. I might steal it from you.
I don't think it was really mine anyways, but.
Okay.
But you do need to give me credit for it.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I have benefited from it, but I don't really benefit from Instagram. Instagram's Ooh. Just too short.
But dude, okay. Do you follow me on Instagram?
I do.
I've experimented recently with like two blog posts. So I've been blogging and I like take one and I put it to a picture and I put it on my Insta and it's a long caption. I don't know if anyone reads it. I have no idea if people like read through the whole thing, but it's there. It's like, hey, not everyone's going to go to my website for my blog, although you should, but not everyone's going to do that. So it's like, I'll put it to where the people mindlessly go and maybe they're like, well, that's only like three paragraphs long. I might read that. Or maybe they just like read the first part and they're like, I get it. I'm bored already. And they like it and they move on.
I engage with your material from email. That's my favorite place. Okay. 'Cause when I start scrolling through emails, that's where I'm like, I want to read something, you know, that's good. I don't know. I guess Facebook and YouTube I benefit from the most because there's more long form stuff. You know, I could learn things. But I will say, shout out to my wife. I feel like I dissed both Jake and my wife. My wife does have a pretty cool thing. It's called Holistic Christian Women, spelled WH Holistic. And it's cool, man. I gotta say, she does post really cool stuff and she has, you know, she spends time doing graphic art for each post and they have lots of good feedback. I think 80% of their people interact with every post. It's like, what?
Dang.
Super high. So it just shows like they're trying their hardest to put out quality every day. And it is really good. She does it with her sister, Francesca. But so it's cool. It is cool. And, you know, sometimes it is a lot. I mean, because I'm talking to Claire about holistic stuff all day long. And I think that that's kind of where she got the idea. Like we have, and in our everyone's faith practice, we've grown up with belief systems that maybe seem really rigid, and maybe we have a hard time, like as we grow, we have growing pains. Like, how do I incorporate this new knowledge and this new truth that I'm experiencing in my life, in my body, in my spirit, but it doesn't fit into my system? That's one way of looking at this group. And I think it's kind of important to know that, you know, we aren't just a body. We aren't just a soul. We aren't just a spirit. And those things go together and they affect each other. And you can't, when you do take them apart, it's called death, you know? So it's like, as long as you're alive, the integrity of those three things together is important. Mm-hmm. And what we believe is how we live, is how we experience. And it's important that we believe right, and that we are open to the way truth is moving right now in the moment. Anyways,
open to where truth is moving in the moment. Amen, bro.
Yeah, it's one thing. So I was watching the Two Popes this week on Netflix. I didn't finish it. It's terribly inaccurate about... I'm just saying, it's terribly inaccurate.
It's terribly inaccurate, but how inaccurate is it to concepts of the two popes? Like, historically, it's not accurate.
I mean, like, yeah, it never happened, right?
In a bad way, it's inaccurate.
It never happened. And I would say it is inaccurate historically about each one individually. I think it's totally caricaturized some of their writing.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's like, yeah, okay, these are kind of feelings and thoughts and philosophies of these two great men. Mm-hmm. And they smushed them together and overlapped them in a way that never happened.
Yeah.
And they also added struggles to each one's character arc that, as far as we know, didn't happen.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, you can go really deep, and there's people right now on the interwebs that are like talking about the craziest conspiracies with both people, I'm sure, but... And just for those people who don't know what this is about, it's about Pope Benedict the 16th and Pope Francis, and kind of showing this time when Benedict resigned and Francis became Pope, and it shows them having lots of discourse, right, with their perspectives of the world and faith and religion. And that's all super interesting from just like a story point of view. It is super interesting.
Yeah, I was entertained by it, and it was thought provoking too.
And there is one scene where Benedict the 16th talks about how God doesn't change, and Pope Francis is like, "No, God is always changing." And then he says, "Well, then where is he? He's on the move." And he's like, "Well, what does he look like? He looks like a man on a journey," or whatever he said, something like that. And it's like, well, in a philosophical way, you can't make sense of that because of all of our philosophy, but in a narrative way, that's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And I liked the movie. If I was like a fanboy of Pope Benedict, I probably wouldn't like the movie at all, because it doesn't... I don't think it's super favorable upon him, and he was a really good man and probably not characterized that well in the film. Although Anthony Hopkins, great performance. It's really good.
Always. What's the other actor's name?
He was good. I don't know. Yeah. They were both nominated for Oscars. Another one won because Joaquin Phoenix, who pretended to be the Joker, but it's not a Joker movie, even though it's called Joker, he won.
I didn't see the Joker.
I'm not okay with that movie.
Yeah. Well, maybe let's talk about it. Let's get into the controversy.
Let's talk into all kind of... Yeah. So here's my thoughts on this. I like comic book movies. I think there's been some truly excellent films adapted from comics. There's been some really bad ones too. what cannot be argued is that they make money. Like, above the scale of movies that are equally as good, they make way more money. They also cost more money, but they make more money. Now, a director, screenwriter was just like, you know what? I've been wanting to make this like character film, kind of like gangster mafia-esque kind of just character portrayal about a person who's transforming and struggling. And you know what? I'm going to make it a comic book movie to get people in the box office. So he did it. He got the perfect actor for it too, Joaquin Phoenix, and he called it Joker, loosely, very loosely adapted by the comic book character. But it really should not have been called Joker, because it has nothing to do with the comic book character. But it did work. It did well in the box office, and Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor for portrayal of a comic book hero, which that also upsets me because Tony Stark's portrayal in just about every time he plays Iron Man is really good, and it's never even nominated. Yeah. I wouldn't expect him to ever win for it, but like the nom would be pretty good, especially in the last one, Infinity War, Endgame.
Yeah.
Like, give him a nom for that. He was great.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, he is like the front part of the tidal wave of the superhero industry right now.
Yeah. And you know, if you listen to this pod for like just health, hot and healthy, all right, hot and spicy health. What do we do? What's our motto? Hot and healthy
health tips or health hacks, we say. But
yeah,
man, that got way more complicated. Someone make a t-shirt of whatever Jake just said.
Anyway, we thank you for listening. We're going to talk about movies for the rest of this. Because I have opinions.
That's probably going to be the title of this show, Jake Has Opinions. Okay.
Okay, so anyway,
what are your opinions, Jake?
So I guess back to Two Popes. That's like a really easy to watch film, and it's entertaining, and you do get an idea of these two popes. But if you're watching it to learn about the two popes, it's not historical.
Yeah. Which is, it's hard, honestly, it's hard to kind of get to historical any politician out there ever. Is hard, but especially lately, because there's just so much put out about them that is over politicized about political figures. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's so hard to be like, did the Pope walk down the street today? It's like, well, from what side of the aisle are you looking at it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just so interesting. I mean, that's just an interesting thing about our perspectives today in this culture, but yeah.
All right, Nick, this doesn't seem like a far segue from what we were just talking about. You recommended to me recently
the
Netflix show, The Messiah.
Yeah.
And took me a few days, probably took me like a week and a half to watch the first three episodes. And then I watched like the final five in a night.
Yes. What did you think?
It's crazy. First of all, that show. Nuts, man. And I think a lot of things about it, but I think one of the things you told me was the character who plays this Messiah figure. Now, the show doesn't make a claim he is. He doesn't make a claim he is. But some people say he is and believe it and whatever. Okay. So I forget his name in the show, because he goes by different – people call him different things in different languages and whatever. So anyway, he's just so engaging. He's like talking about St. Valentine, to bring this pod back full circle. He's like a person you can emulate. He's so peaceful and he's so present, and he's challenging when it's appropriate, and he's accepting when it's appropriate, and he's just with people. It's an amazing quality in a character.
Yeah. I was trying to think about which other characters have done that. And I'm trying to think of one that did that really well. I think there's lots that tried to do something like that, but they nailed it.
Viggo Mortensen as Aragorn.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but there wasn't as much of that as there could have been in the movies, for sure.
Well, You're right. He's a cool character who's just with people in such a profound way. Like the presence is just like, you're in danger right now. And he's just with people having a connection conversation with them where like, they don't want you, they're antagonistic, and he just softens them. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
What's your favorite conversation he has with any of the characters? Cause I think that's where it gets super rich.
It's kind of a spoiler because it's my favorite one's the finale on the plane.
We won't get to that one. Yeah, we won't talk about that one because that is a huge spoiler. And we don't do podcasts where we have spoiler alerts or anything because we're not one of those shows. But
okay.
Best.
I don't know. On the bridge with the daughter in DC.
Oh, that's
just kind of like running away. That's a really good one.
I like the one he has with the prostitute.
Oh, that one might be the best, but almost indirectly because the FBI guy who's tapped his room is observing this and he's like crying.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I guess he's like supposed to be like almost like our point of view from this conversation.
Yeah. So this won't ruin anything to set it up. The Messiah character who never claims to be a Messiah is staying in a hotel room that's being monitored by the FBI. We won't get into the details of why that's happening, but some other character, she walks up to the room, knocks on the door. She says she's a big fan.
She says she wants to be healed.
She wants to be healed. Yeah.
She wants to be healed. Yeah.
And so she comes in and then they start having this whole conversation and it starts to unravel that she is a prostitute and that she's trying to.
Well, no, not the prostitute thing. Like she just like connects to him saying like, I need healing. And he's like loving towards her. And then she like tries to seduce him and then it gets real. And then he calls her out on her stuff basically.
Oh, he calls her out on everything. And, you know, it's like the prostitute archetype. And this is something we talk about, like I'm talking about a lot and it comes up in healing with people. It's like the emotional sabotage pattern for everybody. Everyone deals with this. Don't get caught up in the word of prostitute. We all emotionally sell ourselves short in a way where we are looking for the quick fix, where we don't believe in ourselves. Emotionally. Mm-hmm. And it causes a lot of sabotage of our emotions. We don't believe in ourselves.
And it allows space for us to be used for sure.
And so, yeah, here she is being used by some other character. And this guy, this Messiah character calls her out on all of it and then still does the healing. Like she asked for healing and he's not healing her body, but he's healing her, you know,
yeah,
from the inside out. And meanwhile, the FBI guy's watching.
Also getting healed.
Yeah, that is a cool scene, man. That is just like, it hit me right in the brain.
In the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, man. Because anytime you're like, I think the singular thing in all healing, whether it's spiritual healing and it's medical healings, it's miraculous healings from like, or spontaneous healing in the medical world, it's like, love is foundational and it's usually like your ability to finally let go and forgive yourself, not hate yourself so much. And then like you get this huge shift energetically and oftentimes physically.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, we could talk about like, never mind. I have no idea where this conversation is going to go anymore, but really I'll just briefly summarize the fact that if you want to have a really healthy spiritual life and whatever, you know, religious background you're a part of or whatever you're in, it really comes down. These are your spiritual tools. And if you want to up level your spiritual life, forgiveness is number one.
It's number one.
Letting go. Probably number two. Surrender is probably number three. Integration is a big part of it. You got to integrate what's happening in the background, in the context to the content, man. You got to integrate all of the who and why into the what of your life. That's a little more complicated for people, but mm-hmm. that has to be part of it.
And you gotta love the work as much as the reward. You gotta love doing that stuff for the sake of doing it and not be like, this better pay off. I feel like it's an important thing to be like, I love doing the forgiveness. I love doing the integration.
It is worthy of our love, man, because that's where change happens, man. That's where shift happens in your life. And here's the cool part. It's always for the better.
Yeah.
Always.
We didn't really do a Kobe Bryant tribute on this. Because we record right before the weekend and then it happened on a Sunday and then we didn't record for a while after, but like, that one hit me. Kobe was a big part of my life as a basketball fan. And I watched like everything that people were making and just kind of whatever content. There's an old interview, well, like a mashup of interviews about Kobe. And the one that really stuck out to me was, like, obviously Kobe had this immense success as a basketball player, but he also later in his career had a couple really bad injuries. He had an ACL tear and he also had an Achilles tear, like really hard injuries to overcome, especially later. Like these happened in his 30s and it's just hard to come back from that stuff and be like a supreme athlete.
Yeah.
But he did, but there was an interview of him like doing rehab, like really mundane work. And he was saying like, this is it. He's like, this is love. Like, I love getting after it and doing these exercises because I love basketball. He's like, I love everything about basketball. And like, I can't wait to get into this rehab center and do the work. And I'm like, and that's why you're the best. Like, it's yeah. like, that's, there's a metaphor for life in that is where he gets up and he's like, yeah, I'm like 9 months out from getting on the court, but I'm excited that the work I'm doing here today, it's getting me on the court faster, you know? And he loved it. He wasn't yeah. in this interview like, yeah, this injury sucks, you know, which didn't happen. He was just like, I love rehabbing. It's getting me back on the court. And I love yeah. basketball. It's Dude. Pretty good.
Yeah, drop the mic, man. Yeah. There, you know, it's... This is something Hawkins, I want to bring it back to Hawkins. Always comes back to Hawkins.
David R. Hawkins.
When Hawkins is consciousness research. He showed that energy of emotion is exponential. And these high emotions like love are way more powerful than the low emotions. And he showed that with research. And it's hard to like really appreciate that on paper until you really experience it. For instance, it's like, you know, you experience shame or fear, or, you know, apathy or these lower ones and or grief, and you know, like that's a lower emotion. But I think we very seldomly experience like love in that real context. It's not just like desire, but like real love or peace. I think if anyone's experienced peace in their life, it's the best thing that's ever happened to them ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. Yeah. It's probably, if you could think of like the very greatest moment of your entire life, it was probably you had like 30 seconds of love, joy, or peace. Exponentially way more powerful than all these other things. And imagine if you just lived there. Imagine if it wasn't 30 seconds, but it was like days and weeks and months.
If only.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. But Kobe Bryant had devotion, man. That's what he really had. He had so much devotion. And, you know, and yeah, I mean, tribute to him. There's so much amazing stuff coming out about him that I think was like in his hidden life that was mm-hmm. just beautiful.
Yeah, so. he was an artist. All right, man. Well, fun podcast with you, bro.
I know. This is like what Jake and I want to talk about. We were talking about this stuff like a half hour beforehand too, but yeah, I enjoyed it. If you guys want more content like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, reach out, give us feedback. If you're like, boo, don't talk about movies ever, or TV shows, we'll be like, all right, we'll keep that to ourselves. But we started this pod because we wanted to have a weekly conversation as brothers catching up on life and our profession. And then we decided to record it. So we're being true to the vision initially. So
yeah, we are. So anyways, peace and love to y'all. Enjoy your...
Yeah, how can people reach us?
It's all in the show notes. I don't know if anyone opens this up, but follow us at The Cultivated Being on Instagram.
I'm also Dr. Jake Hyde on Instagram, Dr. Jake Hyde on Instagram, and I also have a drjakehyde.com on my blog.
Dr. Nick Hyde on Instagram. That's a thing.
Oh.
Yep. You don't follow that one, do you? My alter ego is the real Nick Hyde.
Oh, I'd follow that one for sure. Yeah. That's what I'm about.
That's the one where the burritos are. and then, yeah, if you want to email us, thecultivatedbeing@gmail.com. It's a good place to do it. Peace and love to y'all.
Do you have that as your tagline on the real Nick Hyde? You know, you get a little brief description. This is the one where the burritos are.
No, it's pretty self-explanatory with my like 8 pictures.
All right. It could be helpful, but yeah, maybe it is.
All right. Maybe I'll change it. I'll update it today. All right. Well, we're still looking for a free producer and a free social media updater.
Yeah.
If you're the one, reach out. Who knows? It might even turn into a paying thing.
Good.
It could. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know that. All right. Well, enough said.
All right. Well, love you, bro. And I love you all out there. Thanks for still listening to this.
Bye.
Bye.